Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Friend, living the life as a Christian as God has prescribed is presented to us in many different figures and illustrations. Sometimes it's shown as a race or an athletic event, a game to be played and a prize to be won. It's also presented as a warfare, like working in a vineyard or constructing a building. Now, in our above passage, it's pictured as a walk or a journey. It's not unlike Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he journeyed into the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and whose maker is God. Abraham walked with God. Again in 1 Peter chapter 1 and 17, And if you call on the name of the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Once again, the Apostle Peter is presenting living the Christian life as a walk pleasing to God. Paul wrote that he had shown his brethren how they ought to walk and how they ought to please God. Now let us understand the importance of pleasing God rather than men. Paul wrote, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He wrote to the Ephesians, Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not to man. And Peter said, and the other apostles, We must obey God rather than men. Friend, we must therefore conclude that we are required to walk pleasing to God. He is to have the priority of our allegiance, first, last, and always. Now, the expression of walking is used differently in revealing possible relationships to God. We are to walk with God. We are to walk before God. We are to walk after God. And each of these phrases has a singular meaning, and with all three, when they are rightly considered, they have a collective meaning. First, let us consider the walk with God. In Genesis 5 and verse 22, we read that Enoch walked with God. Now here's a picture of a human being having companionship with deity. There is a nearness to God and a communion with God that Enoch enjoyed because he chose to walk with God. And side by side, Enoch kept in step with God. And it's that way with us as we live a faithful Christian life. We go hand in hand with him, and he in us and we in him, and we benefit from our fellowship with deity. And John said, Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a tragic event when men so conduct themselves that they get ahead of God and lose that fellowship. And Moses early in his life did get ahead of God, did he not? He supposed that his brethren would recognize him to be their deliverer, and he determined to deliver Israel his own way and at a time that he determined. But he got ahead of God. He got ahead of God's plans and God's ways. Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, they got ahead of God by doing what God had not authorized to be done in worship to him. They offered that which the Lord commanded not. And people still get ahead of God and cause themselves distress. And John tells us that whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. People too often get ahead of God, going their own way, but sometimes people get too far behind God. Are we ever like Peter, who followed the Lord but followed him afar off? Too far behind our Lord is tantamount to refusing him. We must be in agreement with God in order to walk with God. Amos asked, can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3 in verse 3. The power of the apostles rested in their willingness to walk with Christ and to live in agreement with Him. And as best as we can calculate, Enoch walked with God for about 300 years. Genesis 5:22 tells us that Enoch walked with God and records his pattern of life after the birth of his son Methuselah. He probably walked with God even before that, but it has some significance, at least to me, that Enoch recognized the deep and serious duty of a father that Methuselah, his son, never knew a day but his father walked with God. Can your children say that? Can my children say that? Should not our children be able to know that concerning us? We sing a hymn that's designed to express the thought we're laboring to present. Now, I do not consider the song as some kind of suggestion of a mystic and direct communication with deity, but one that denotes the fellowship that we have with Christ when we are in Christ. The song says, I come to the garden alone, and He walks with me, and He talks with me. Should not our prayer ever be, all along my pilgrim journey, let me safely walk with Thee, let me walk close to Thee? And secondly, we also walk before God. Genesis 17:1, and when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. Now Abram was ever to be in the presence of God, being under the constant inspection of the Almighty. Well, friend, we're no different. We are as soldiers marching before the inspection of God, not in large numbers and great companies, but single file. Samuel said at the close of his illustrious and righteous life, I have walked before you from childhood, 1 Samuel 12 and verse 2. The idea was that his life had been an open book for all the people to read and inspect. And it's that way as we live before God. When we go to the store and buy clothes, we will walk before the mirror in order to see how they might look on us, how they fit, and determine if they pass our inspection. On most assembly lines in the factory, there are those who inspect the work being produced to see that it fits the standards that are being maintained and all the flaws removed. Peter wrote, For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. But let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Proverbs 15:3 says, The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Isaac said to his servant that he walked before God. Hezekiah is said to have walked before God, Isaiah 38:3. And these statements should sober our thinking in the realization that God sees, He knows, He observes, He's aware of our every deed, every thought, every motive, every word. It is all manifest before Him. And while this thought should sober us, and we stand in awe of it, that thought also console and comfort us in the knowledge that as we walk before God, He can and does protect us. He does provide for us as He sees what is best for us. He knows when we do wrong, but He also knows when we try to do what's right, and when we're sincerely following His will. There was a man named B.C. Goodpaster that many people know and respect. He once used the illustration that in the afternoon when the sun was up, he would go to the barn with his father, and he would allow his father to go ahead of him, and he would come along. During the daylight, he was not the least bit afraid of anything in the way or anything coming up from behind him. But coming back, after the sun had set and darkness prevailed, he said he walked right in front of his father and not too far ahead of him. He then knew that if anything came at him from the darkness, his father was there to care for him. Indeed, we walk before God. And thirdly, we walk after God. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 4, Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. Now this projects the thought of following God. God is our leader, we are his followers. There's always the danger of following the wrong leader. And Jesus warned, if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch, Matthew 15:14. The story is told as how a man was driving in a snowstorm and lost his way. And suddenly he saw some red lights glowing in front of him, and he realized it was a truck going in the same direction he was, so he determined to follow the truck. And further down the way, the truck's lights disappeared. The truck had left the road and plunged off of a cliff. The man following after in his car almost did the same thing. Moses warned, Follow not the multitude to do evil. Exodus 23 and verse 2. The downfall of Solomon was following the lead of his foreign wives into idolatry and away from the true and living God of heaven. Israel's downfall is largely attributable to the desire to be like the nations round about them. They fell victim to following the wrong leader. And many are going the way of sin and destruction because they are inclining themselves to the satisfaction of their own lust and their own ambitions. Others are following man-made doctrines and man-made systems, and still others are allowing themselves to follow their consciences wheresoever it might lead them. Friend, to please God, we must follow Christ. Peter said, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. John teaches us to walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1:7. And John again wrote, He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Well, Paul did that. And Paul urged his brethren, Be ye imitators of me, even as I am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Our walk after God would be made easier if we were able to see more of the imitation of Christ in the life of each other. We ought to be content, friend, to follow after God. Now, each expression of walking, it has its own meaning, doesn't it? We have fellowship and companionship to walk with God. We realize God is our judge and protector as we walk before God. We are to go the way that God leads, and we walk after God. And when we put the expressions together, we get another very important conclusion. To walk before God in an acceptable manner and receive his care, we must first walk with God and be in agreement with him. And to be in agreement with God means that we must walk after God, following him in his way as he has revealed in his word. And what is God's way for man? Well, we could summarize by saying that way is Christ. Christ said, I am the way. As for man's duty, we could summarize it by saying it is to trust and obey, to become a Christian and then live as a Christian ought in faithfulness, to hear the word, believe the word, obey the word in repentance and confession of our faith that Jesus is God's Son, and to be baptized is the way that we begin our walk. And should we fall away, we renew our walk by being restored through repentance of sins, confession of our sinfulness, and going to God in prayer, asking for his forgiveness. Now this is the way that we walk that is pleasing to God. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.